This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
608 now, very busy program today. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand will be with us after 7. She's supporting Hillary Clinton. And don't be surprised at all if the next go-round, she is a vice presidential, if not a presidential candidate. She is a very strong presence in the Senate. The Oscars, of course, we'll do our Oscars picks this morning. Are you ready, Dave?
I think I will be. Are we going with the format I suggested?
What would you suggest? Well, I'll tell you what.
Fantasy draft.
It's kind of like that. Let's go live to Kevin now at Oscars headquarters. Kevin, you're in Hollywood this morning?
Steve, I am in Hollywood right now, ready to break down our Oscars pick segment, which will feature Steve Cochran, Dave Venn, and Andrea Darlis, Team Millennials. That'll be Ross and myself. And Steve's mom will be joining us as well. So it'll be five teams.
Yes. Well, she hasn't confirmed.
She hasn't confirmed. We're working with her publicist right now to confirm that. Anyways, yes. There'll be about five teams, and we'll go through the main five categories here. So Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress.
Now, here's the rub. You cannot pick something that somebody else has picked, and each of us will get one first pick.
Oh, that's a good one.
We'll do sort of a snake-like draft pick system.
Right.
I love it. Yes.
Everybody gets a first pick. Everybody gets a last pick.
Okay.
Okay, that's fair.
Love it. Yeah. Very fair, yeah.
I have one question for you.
Yes, let's go.
Since you're in Hollywood,
yes.
Who are you wearing?
I'm wearing Go Cats, actually. Thank you to the Northwestern Media Relations.
Yeah, because you got to get back here by the time our friends come in from Northwestern this morning.
Yeah, I'll be back. Taking the same flight you took from Vegas the other day.
Very quick.
Able to get back here in 5 minutes. Live from Hollywood, Kevin Powell, WGN.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I have my Northwestern on.
I didn't.
Go Cats.
Was there a memo?
I got mine.
No, but you did 3 or 4 wardrobe changes during the show.
I'll find something purple.
I'm sure they'll bring something for you. All call to Northwestern. Andrea needs gear.
I do today.
Now, when we do these picks, we've decided that Kevin and Ross will be one pick. The two of them together.
That's smart. Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll be the millennials pick.
The young generation.
Right.
And me.
And Mary's not here. Hey, Steve Grzanich. Yep. Steve Grzanich over. Steve Grzanich.
Yes, I'm here.
You have to represent the 7th floor in the Oscars picks.
Okay, so we just all of us jointly have one pick?
Yes. Well, yeah, but don't talk to them. Just do it yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, so that'll be at 7:40.
Okay.
All right. So do your homework.
All right, doing it now.
At 6:11, the debate last night was entertaining and disturbing and amusing and frustrating and ultimately a little longer than it should have been. But Marco Rubio did what he had to do. He got up in his face. I tweeted out at one point last night, because I believe this to be true. If you see a two-shot of Marco Rubio and Donald Trump together, Marco Rubio looks like the freshman that's home from college for Thanksgiving who is really tired of his drunken uncle ruining the family Thanksgiving. He looks like he's telling off the drunken uncle, this is what mom and dad would never tell you. Get out.
I felt the same way. Just their positions right next to each other. And Rubio is obviously of smaller stature.
Yeah. And Trump's a big blowhard. So you got the big blowhard next to the little kid home from school. Rubio made some great points. Trump was his typical dope-iness. Rubio won the debate. I think Trump probably was no worse than third. And we'll see what happens with the fallout this morning. And I'm going into Super Tuesday. Ted Cruz, for a home game, Ted Cruz kind of dropped the ball. He didn't do much.
I completely agree.
And Kasich continues to be not only the adult in the room, but the guy that makes the most cogent points. He's got to tighten it up, and it's probably too late. But his answers are way too long. And Ben Carson, the comedy stylings of Ben Carson, had probably the best line of the night when Ben Carson said, hey, could somebody insult me? Because he just wanted to be included in the debate. You know, if you're going to put on clean underwear in the suit, you might as well show up and, you know, participate.
How many people, though, in the Twitterverse were going, oh, yeah, he is still in it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was there. He's a nice man. The other thing that didn't come up during the debate last night, and I fault Wolf for this, because there was allegedly a theme to the debate, though I couldn't particularly tell you what it was. There have been two shootings in the last week, one in Kalamazoo and one yesterday in Kansas, that again bring the focus back to this gun problem, this gun violence problem we have in this country. And it wasn't brought up once last night during the debate.
Very surprised about that.
Alex Stone will be on later this hour from Kansas, where in a very small town of about 4,000 people, three people killed, the gunman shot as well by the first officer arriving on the scene, 14 others injured. And here we are days later. We still don't know the motive of the Kalamazoo lunatic. And now we don't know what happened at this this workplace shooting.
And the Kalamazoo story just gets more bizarre every single day when you find out more about the shooter.
What do we know? I don't know anything.
That's just the thing. They were interviewing the next door neighbors who said he was a great guy. They had picnics and barbecues. And then when he bought a jacket right before, literally an hour or so before the shooting, went in, saw the guy that he knew at the store, kind of gave him like a bear hug like guys would do. And he said he was perfectly normal. There doesn't seem to be any sort of motive, and these were so random.
There's got to be a missing piece to this story. There has to be. There just has to be. Nobody is perfectly normal, gets in their car, goes to work. In this case, work was his car, and snaps. It just doesn't happen.
Again, no history of mental illness.
Yeah.
No criminal
background. But that goes to what? That goes to the family and whoever his friends must have been, and he must have had some people that knew him well. Somebody must have seen some kind of trouble coming. That's the type of stuff that has to come out
at some
point. Steve,
within 2 hours of the shooting, maybe less, the family released a statement saying, "We are shocked, we are sad,
we are
so
sorry." Yeah, of
course
you're going to say that.
Yeah, but normally, I mean, with the case of Adam Lanza with Sandy Hook, immediately there was the father had come out. Remember, they didn't live together.
Right,
he lived with the mother. He came out and said he has been treated for depression and schizophrenia and blah, blah, blah. Just no indication of any medical issue.
There's something. He didn't take his meds, or he took too many meds, or he had. This has been coming for a while. There was an affair. There wasn't an affair. You know, he had a big secret that was going to come out. Something. And the gutless nature of taking other people's lives, people who have nothing to do with your life, continues. So, it's 6:15. Alex Stone again from ABC on the Kansas shooting by 6:40. Lou is back. Lou Manfredini's back from, where was he, Mexico?
Mexico.
Yes. Did you hear the Mexican president cursing about Lou yesterday?
I didn't hear that.
Former President Vicente on there. Lou, get the F out. I heard him. I totally heard him.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
It's the time.
Remember the premise? I think I started this like in 2003 on the old afternoon show. And it was Lou's First Call. So on a Friday afternoon, we'd have people call in for Lou's First Call, because on a Saturday morning, because of Lou's immense popularity, you couldn't get a hold of Lou. So the idea would be you could be on first, you could ask him a call on a Friday, and then, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about talking to him on Saturday. And then, of course, that took off. And for a while, Lou had the sitcom, the Lou's First Call sitcom. I remember that. It was terrific.
High ratings.
Have I stalled long enough? Do we have him? Okay, 1-7. Lou Manfredini back from Mexico, apparently just seconds ago. Good morning, Lou.
Do you remember my other sitcom, Fuller Lou? Fuller Lou?
That was shot just outside an Italian restaurant right after dinner. Fuller Lou.
Fuller Lou, right. Yeah,
hey, how was your vacation?
It was fantastic.
Where'd you go?
Mexico.
Where in Mexico?
Puerto Vallarta.
What'd you do?
Sat by the pool and had Cuba Libras and floated in the water.
So pretty energetic, kind of crazy out there?
Yeah. No, I'm all in for just not doing anything when we go.
Did you go to a resort?
Actually, we go with a bunch of friends. This is an annual trip, and we rent a villa just outside of Puerto Vallarta, right on the water. It is the most affordable way to go to Mexico that I could possibly recommend to people.
So it's a multiple family house, like a big old mansion with a bunch of families in it?
25,000 square foot villa overlooking the ocean.
Wow, that's pretty nice.
It's awesome. And my good friends Chicho and Luis took very good care of us throughout the day.
Those are your manservants?
Right. Yeah. And I just love the fact that the one guy's name was Chicho.
Remember that show, Chicho and the Man? That was
right, excellent. I did. It was great. No, it's awesome. If you and I have no connection to this company whatsoever, but there's this website called villasofmexico.com. If you want to just have some fun and take a look at these villas, and you can go, oh, how many bedrooms do I want to do? And if you have friends that you really like, so for instance, like you and I could never do this, but if you want to vacation.
Yeah, you're right. We'd kill each other.
We would. Well, but I would always make sure that you wouldn't burn. So that, you know, that I would have your back.
Here's the thing I don't understand of you going away with other families and not into a hotel or a, you know, a resort situation. Because, okay. Andre, you could see this because coming down the road, they're in this villa. And sure, he's got Chicho and his buddy Lupe, and they're doing fine. And he's got Trump claiming that those guys love him. I mean, they're all there.
And I, you know what? And I talked to them all about building the wall. They told me I was number one. They gave me the number one sign.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it at all. But the minute something goes wrong at the villa, who are you going to call?
Chicho.
No, you're going to call Lou.
Oh, right.
You're going to go into Lou's room, and you're going to wake Lou up and go, hey, we got a leak. Can you fix it? How can you enjoy yourself?
Can I tell you I did fix a toilet while I was there?
Of course you did.
I did. I was in the pool, and one of the guys came out of the pool and said, oh, my God, one of the toilets won't flush. I'm like, I got it. I mean, you know, it's like a Pavlovian thing for me.
It's unbelievable. Like a doctor going on vacation. Right. There's never a break.
Check this out.
Here's the thing. When I fix toilets when I'm on vacation, Cuba Libre in my hand.
I don't know what a Cuba Libre is.
It's a fancy way to say rum and coke with a lime.
Ah, good for you, though, for trying to sexy it up.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Listen, we have an April Air event-based thermostat brought to you by the leaders in Chicagoland's indoor comfort, American Weathermakers. Take control of your temperature and the air you breathe. Go to AmericanWeathermakers.com. And Dennis is the first caller. Dennis, what's your problem?
Hey, Lou, welcome back.
Thank you.
Last fall, I loaded up on my Ace fertilizers and Black Beauty grass. I'm wondering if I can start putting my fertilizer down this weekend since Skilling said it's going to be 60.
No. Even though it's going to be 60 outside, what happens is we got to get the soil temperature. The soil temperature needs to be above about 55 degrees for any of the grass to sort of wake up. And if people want to get out this weekend and do some stuff because it's going to be warm, what I would tell you to do is just go out there and do a little bit of cleanup. Take a rake. Start raking up some of the debris, maybe even some of the thatch that'll come up because the grass will be pretty damp. But you'd be wasting the material if you put it down. The grass seed will not catch. It will not germinate. And the fertilizer will just sit there. And the problem is it can start to kind of break away in the moisture. And it will get cold again. So we need several days of 60 plus degrees to get that soil temperature up before any of that stuff will be effective.
Texter from the 847, Lou, what should you do first? Get the vents cleaned or have the furnace AC serviced? All's fine now, but I'm getting ready for summer.
Yeah, so the one thing with cleaning vents is I do recommend it. I think it's something you should do every 5 to maybe 7 years. And I would say get the vents cleaned first and then have the furnace serviced. There's really no right or wrong area, but a lot of times the HVAC companies, for instance, American Weathermakers, who sponsors this segment, they offer duct cleaning. And so that one contractor, you know, it's probably a different crew that does it, but they can sort of coordinate it all together because they tend to have to cut a hole in the ductwork in order to get their vacuum in there and to do it right. And the key, if you're going to get vents cleaned, you got to make sure that the contractor uses a whip, kind of like a brush, that goes through the vents to loosen up any of the debris that is going to be grabbing onto the sidewalls of the ductwork.
They'll do that for your colon, too, if you give them a little extra.
Yeah, that's right. And if they say turn your head and cough, be careful.
Right. And you did say duct, not duck, right? Do they clean ducts? Like if you have a duck, would they clean your duck?
I'd
duck
with a G.
Yeah, got it. All right. And I had this done, and let me tell you something. You need to do this. Lou said every 5 to 7 years. You shouldn't say this out loud. I hadn't had my ducks clean in 15 years, my ducks and my vents.
Yeah? They found it all the time.
They found Jimmy Hoffa. They found all the stuff from Al Capone's vault. It was all in there. So, you know, you got to be very careful.
Is that where Geraldo is?
Yeah, Geraldo is in there. It's crazy. To the phone again. Mike, what is your question for Lou?
he's in Mexico.
He's getting his ducks.
Was that Mike Madigan? Madigan finally called?
Might have been.
Right. You had him on hold for too long.
He's calling because he has a home improvement question. That's how we get him on the air, Steve.
Actually found Madigan in my ductwork as well. let's see. From The Bear in the 708, my mom's garage goes back almost 60 years. It's starting to lean. Is it time to do something about the garage leaning?
So, yes. You know, if it's a detached garage, one of the our friends at PermaSeal now offer a new service that they've been perfecting over the past year called PolyLevel. And it is this foam leveling system as opposed to the traditional mud jacking, where it has much more control capabilities. They can actually use this to lift a garage. So, if in other words, if you look at, if you have a structure, a front porch or a large patio or even a garage, and you're looking at it like, well, if I could just grab it with my hands and just kind of go, oh, you know, it looks fine, but it's leaning like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, these folks can come in and with this system put it back to where it needs to be.
Well, that's pretty
cool. It's really cool.
That is very cool.
So cool. So cool.
Before we let you go, are you on TV this morning?
I am on TV this morning.
Channel 9 coming up here in a few minutes.
Channel 9 this morning, we're going to be talking about lead in the water. It's been a hot topic of late.
Sure.
And I have some tips, some easy things that people can do to mitigate the amount of lead that's in their water. The bottom line is there is no safe level of lead in your water, but I've got some ideas on what people can do.
And do we need to pre-treat outside the house to keep the insects out, you know, now, or do we wait?
No, not yet. Too early. Again, soil temperatures are too cool. You know, if this weather keeps going, I mean, I do think we're still going to get a little whack of winter. It's just a little too shady with this coming so quickly. But when we get to, like, the third weekend March, then I think we can start if the weather holds.
Third weekend in March. So you want several days of, what, 50-plus daytime highs?
Yeah. We got to get the soil temperature up before any of that stuff's effective.
The television show airs when?
Saturdays on Channel 9 at 4 o'clock and Sundays on Channel 9 at 10:30, House Smarts.
There you go.
And with beautiful Andrea Darling.
I was going to say best show on TV.
Right.
Highest rated weekend show on WGN TV.
Yeah. And if you need to go to Ace Hardware this weekend, which two would you suggest, Lou?
Well, all of them are very good, and you'll get great help there, but I'm really biased to the one in Edgebrook and the one in Villa Park. The fine stores. And if you go to the one in Villa Park, we just switched the whole store to new LED lighting.
Wow.
Which is a huge trend in retail. We're one of the first retail stores to go all LED. And it is amazing. I mean, we could do an exam on you, Steve. It's so bright.
Well, come in for that.
Ooh.
Yeah. Let me know what aisle you're doing it in.
And you get popcorn at the store in Edgebrook.
Of course you always get popcorn.
Best part.
Thank you, buddy. That's Lou Manfredini. He's on the radio tomorrow at 7 a.m. with the Mr. Fix-It program. It's 6:31. Big story next on 720 WGN. Alex Stone from ABC News joins us now from Kansas, where this horrible shooting happened yesterday afternoon. About a week after that ridiculous, nightmarish events in Kalamazoo. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, good morning, Steve. And we're finding out more about a possible motive here. The sun just coming up above this factory. It is a large factory. They employ about 1,000 people in a town of 3,700. So as you can imagine, it seems like everybody in this town knows somebody who was affected by this, and many people in this town directly affected. But the focus on 38-year-old Cedric Ford and his life, police trying to figure out what may have triggered this, and we have just been told by the sheriff here that it may have been the serving of a restraining order that told Cedric Ford to stay away from his girlfriend that set this off. That happened about an hour and a half before he carried out this shooting. Immediately, the sheriff said this was not a case of terrorism. Now we understand why, that there was apparently a case in the last couple of weeks of domestic violence. He was served this restraining order, and then an hour and a half later, this was carried out.
Does the girlfriend work at the factory?
You know, we don't know. We don't know if she works there or not. Was it somebody at the factory who was somehow involved in reporting him? Was there something going on at work? He currently worked at this factory, but was he disciplined in some way? Had he not been doing his job? all of that yet to be determined. And the sheriff is trying to piece that together as well. They spent all night trying to clear scenes that there was a home, his home, an apartment in a nearby town called Newton, and they thought that that might be booby-trapped, and they thought there was somebody inside overnight. So they had a standoff with nobody surrounding the apartment and using loudspeakers telling somebody to come out. In the end, nobody was in there. They had to clear his car in the same way. Their concern was that this was going to be like Aurora, Colorado, where they went to James Holmes' house and it was ready to explode. Luckily, in this case, that has not been the way it was carried out. It looks like this may have been more spur of the moment, more a quick reaction to what was going on in his life, but only now are they able to focus on really who Cedric Ford was, since they have now begun to clear all these scenes.
Alex, I know it's very early, but any prior criminal history with Cedric Ford? And do we know if those guns, I know he had two weapons that they mentioned, if those were purchased legally?
We don't know how they were purchased. We know he had a pistol and he had a .223 of some kind, and it was described by folks here as looking like an AK-47. He had a somewhat of a history here in Kansas. He had some minor traffic violations and a domestic violence case from about a month ago, likely linked, it appears, to this restraining order that was served yesterday. He had a much lengthier criminal history in Florida when he lived there a couple of years ago, of burglary, of prowling, of running from the cops. So he had some run-ins with the law, fewer of them here in Kansas, but he did have some communication with the law here as well.
Briefing at what time today?
We're going to get a briefing in a little less than 2 hours from right now. The sheriff is going to brief us, and we've been talking to the sheriff here in the last little while. We expect that he will talk about that restraining order, but also the hero cop in this whole thing. And Steve, there is a police officer who really was a hero in this whole thing, that he did not wait when he arrived on scene seconds after the 911 call. Remember, this is a small town,
yep,
small police department. He pulled up, immediately ran in to where he heard the gunfire coming from. He got into a gun battle with the gunman, with Ford. They exchanged a gunfire. Ford was shooting at him, and he shot and killed Ford. The belief here in town is, if he had not arrived on scene and decided to go in, remember after Columbine in 1999, tactics changed, that now in an active shooter situation, police go in immediately. They don't wait for a SWAT team. They don't wait for a lot of backup. They go in. And in this case, if he hadn't gone in, witnesses say Ford was shooting at everything that moved and was trying to kill everybody. Likely more people would have been dead.
And we'll know his name in the next briefing, I would assume.
Most likely, yeah. They may want to keep it confidential for some reason, but he said last night, the sheriff said that they were going to announce it this morning.
Thanks, Alex. We'll check back with you, and appreciate the good work as always. The sad thing here, aside from the obvious, is we literally now have reached a point where there's a template for this. There's questions that are the obvious questions to ask. You go through, was it terrorism, and the potential motives, and it all feels so routine. That's where we are in this country. You can walk into a factory, you kill three people, you shoot the place up, you would have killed more, you're shot in a gun battle in a town of 4,000 people in Kansas, and we go, yeah, well, you know, it's a day of the week.
And you know what? Another loophole, and I'm just going to put this out there too as well, any prior conviction of domestic violence.
You can't have a gun. You
can't have a gun.
It's ridiculous. 647. Let's get traffic. Laura Vaughn's in for Mary. Got some friends from Northwestern coming in later and an announcement to make that we're very happy about. But in the meantime, Andrea needs gear because I tried to explain.
Oh, this is funny.
I tried to explain how this works. Kevin and Ross producing a show. Dave's out of town. I'm here. Here's how the discussion goes down with Northwestern with a bunch of guys. Hey, Northwestern's coming in Friday. And then you don't even say it out loud. The guys go, oh, I probably should grab something purple. So I have a, is this purple, lavender? I don't even know what color this is.
It's a deep purple.
It's a deep purple dress shirt.
Yes. Yeah, that works.
Oh, you've got the opportunity to have it work.
I grabbed that and put it on. In your case, because you're the girl, you needed to know about this like Tuesday or Wednesday, so you would have two or three days to stress about what to wear. And
totally.
This is my fault. I forgot to tell you that the Northwestern guys are coming in.
No, it's totally fine. It's fine when I walk in and you guys all go, where's your purple? And you're all in your Northwestern gear. And
Andrea needs gear.
I'm in brown.
All call to Northwestern. Bring gear.
I can make a call if you want.
Yeah. But no, you know what? You are right, though.
Because Jim Phillips is listening right now. He's going shopping this morning at the warehouse.
No need.
She's just kidding, Jim.
I am kidding, Jim. I like Jim very much. Yeah. But you are right, though. Women freak out about this.
You got to have a couple of days to stress out about what you're going to wear.
At least two.
Yeah. Elise Glink knows all about that. She's got to stand up in front of people, talk all the time. You'd be furious if nobody told you what was happening.
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
I like knowing what's going on. I would want a week in advance.
See? Thanks, because Elise.
You got to overthink it. You got to freak out about it. You got to do that thing that guys never do where you hold up 15 or 16 things in front of you in a mirror.
And you have to match your shoes, your purse,
yes, and
your coat. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Big all the way around. Yes. Andrea, so, I'm feeling for you,
thank
babe.
Thank you, girlfriend.
So much easier being a dude. I mean, twice a week we shower. How hard could that be? ThinkGlink.com. ThinkGlink.com, at Glink, all over social media. All right, so here's what people need to know. We've talked about this with Hochberg. We've talked about it with you. The mortgage interest rates are great, but if you're upside down, this HARP situation the government came out with a few years ago is still a good avenue, right?
Yeah, it's actually, I think, HARP month or HARP week or something.
Oh, how sweet.
I know they've got a whole week for us. So, unfortunately, folks in Chicago and actually the whole state of Illinois are not doing as well as some other parts of the country in terms of getting out from under the mortgages of their houses. So by that, I mean lots of people in Chicago are still underwater. Their houses are worth less than the mortgage amount, or they're what we call functionally underwater, meaning that maybe your mortgage amount is about where your house is worth, but if you went to sell it, you'd have to bring cash to the closing. And most people don't have 20, 30, 40, 50 grand to do that. So we call them functionally underwater. But interest rates hit the near historic lows again this week, which is in itself a whole crazy, wacky world thing. But you should be able to take advantage of it. But if you are underwater or functionally underwater, you want to get a home affordable refinance program, HARP, H-A-R-P, refinance program from the government. And you can find out more at harp.gov.
And the qualifications for this are basic or more a la carte?
Well, it's important that you haven't been late on your loan in the last 12 months. I think a lot of people, most people now are actually paying their mortgages on time, which is great, but you can't be late. That's sort of a big thing. You have to have, your home has to be your primary residence, right? You can't be renting out your house, the one that's underwater. Your loan has to be owned by Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae. And on HARP.gov, they actually have what they call a lookup tool. So you can actually look up your loan by the address, and it'll tell you whether or not it's owned by those. And most of them are owned or controlled by them. But here's one that I think trips up some people. Your loan has to have been originated, meaning you got it, you closed on your house, on or before May 31st of 2009, which already feels like a long time
ago. It does feel like a long time ago.
This is for people who, and you can only do this program once. So there's these kinds of eligibility requirements. They sound really technical. They're not too bad. If you go to harp.gov, that's the place. It's a .gov, right? So it's a government website. It's perfectly safe to go to. And they've got all the information about how you qualify for this.
All right. So check that out. That's basic. Give me another financial tip for the weekend. You know, everybody's going to go, it's a nice weekend. I'm going to clean out my garage. What do I need to clean out as well? My wallet, my purse? And why am I carrying a purse? I'm a grown man.
Is it purple?
Yeah, it is. It's nice. Andrea should have known.
Thanks, Elise.
Trade it. So here's the thing. Even if you have a mortgage, I think everybody should think about refinancing again. Here's what I'm getting at. With a HARP, if you do a HARP refinance, the government's saying you'll probably save over $2,000 a year, which is pretty awesome.
Sure.
But most people are still carrying around mortgages over 4%, and we've got 30-year fixed-rate mortgages that are about 3.5%. And if you go with a 15-year loan, you can probably get under 3% again. And so I think everybody ought to take a look at what they're paying, how much they're paying, and think about what they could save. Because if you could save another, let's say, $1,000 a year or $100 a month, $1,200 a year, after tax, that's after-tax money. That's right out of your pocket. That's like earning almost $2,000 a year more. And so you've kind of given yourself a raise without actually having to go to your boss and fight for it.
Well, that's pretty great. What's wrong with that idea?
I think that's a winner idea.
It's a total winner idea. All right, what are you doing this weekend?
Oh, I don't know. My son's out of town visiting the University of Illinois, trying to decide where he wants to go to school. So I think Sam and I have a couple weekend in store.
All right. Well, that's fantastic.
Good choice, Elise.
I mean, we're watching the Oscars wearing purple.
Yeah.
Well, you got 2 days to get ready.
Best.
Wait, here's something I'm doing. At noon, I'll be filling in for your friend Steve Bertrand today.
I was kind of teeing you up for that. Then I thought I was wrong.
Oh, you mean that's what was going? Well, that's not the weekend. That's today.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, what are you doing? That's it's kind of. Then again, I started questioning me.
Slow on the uptake. I haven't been up for 6 hours yet.
So again, that's noon today. This is the point Elise and I are trying to make here. Is that Elise is going to be filling in for Bertrand today at noon?
Got a whole hour. It's going to be fun.
That's great. Start working on that. All right. Yeah. We'll talk to you later.
See ya.
ThinkGlink.com, at Glink on social media, a minute before 7. And Kristen Gillibrand, senator from New York, an up-and-coming, already prominent a woman in politics and in D.C., is speaking on behalf of Hillary Clinton all over the country, and she's in town today. We'll grab her on the phone when she's on the run between things this morning in about 10 minutes on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
7:10 in the morning. Thank you for making us the number one talk show in Chicago. And by the way, we have another exciting announcement, aside from the exciting Northwestern announcement. We have exciting announcements coming up left and right today. So we'll get to that coming up. I'm glad to welcome Kristen Gillibrand in, the senator from New York, at Senator Gillibrand. G-I-L-L-I-B-R-A-N-D. Did you ever think about changing your name so it'd be easier on social media, Senator?
Well, it is my husband's name, but I'm very happy to have it.
It's nice to talk to you, and I respect what you're trying to do and what you continue to fight for in regards to women's rights and specifically the fight against violence with women. You know, we were talking about this with this horrible shooting that took place overnight in Kansas, and Andrea brought this up, and it's such a important point to make. If someone is convicted of domestic violence, how in God's name do they have a gun?
Well, that's exactly right. It's one of the reasons why I'm fighting for two reforms to the law. One, to say if you are trying to get a restraining order against someone who has made threats against you, you have to be able to get that gun taken away. And right now there's restrictions. If you're just dating or your partners but not married, the police officers can't take that gun away. And the other problem we have today is if it's a temporary restraining order, which is the time when a lot of times spouses and intimate partners are so angry, where gun violence is more likely, they don't have the right to take those guns away. So we want to make sure that if you get a temporary restraining order, that in various states you can still have law enforcement take that gun away from that person who's threatened these women. Women die at the hands of people they know the vast majority of the time, something like they know the person who kills them in 90% of the cases, and in half of the cases it's their intimate partner. So women unfortunately are dying every day at the hands of very grave gun violence by the person they loved because we don't have the tools to take those guns away quickly enough.
Senator, I admire the work that you do. I would almost argue that somebody who's been arrested and charged with domestic violence, too, shouldn't have a gun, not necessarily just a conviction, because I actually covered a story about a man who was arrested 30 times and not one conviction stuck because she was too scared to press charges. He's now in prison. But
yeah, it's a huge problem. And we need to do better by families and protect women and children from abusers and making sure they don't have access to guns. And it's one of the reasons why we fight so hard to clean up the background checks to make sure that, for example, if you do have a domestic violence incident, that it's on the record so someone doesn't sell you a gun not knowing that you could be a potential harm to your family. We also focus a lot in New York, and I know it's a problem here in Chicago, on the issue of gun trafficking, that we have guns that are being sold, you know, out of the back of a truck directly to gang members. There's no hope of a background check because they're being sold by trafficking. And so there's no federal crime today. So I have a bill to make that a federal crime and to have kingpins be held responsible. They could get up to 25 years in prison under my bill.
Senator Gillibrand's in Chicago speaking on behalf of Hillary Clinton, her friend who she replaced in the Senate, and the South Carolina Democratic primary, first Democrats primary in the South, comes up on Saturday. It seems that Senator Clinton, Secretary of State Clinton, former First Lady Hillary Clinton. By the time we get through Hillary Clinton's credits, I have no time to ask the question. She's on a roll here. But Bernie Sanders has been a remarkably persistent pain in her behind. So why Hillary? Why not Bernie?
Well, I think Hillary is the most experienced candidate to become the next president of the United States. I think the issues of national security are so relevant today with the Middle East absolutely in chaos, with the refugee crisis streaming across Europe. There's going to be huge pressures on national security and international issues. And I think as our former Secretary of State, not only does she understand these issues deeply, but she can lead. I also think she's someone who cares deeply about our children, our families, the people who are struggling the most in our communities. I really believe her core is someone who wants to make sure every child has the chance to reach their full God-given potential. And so I support Hillary because I think she will make a difference. I think she'll focus on issues that perhaps other presidents and Congress rarely focuses on. She's going to pass paid leave in this country. She's going to work for equal pay for equal work. She's going to try to get things done that I think help our families. I think Bernie Sanders is a wonderful public servant. He believes passionately in all the issues he's fighting for, and I think he's a great candidate. But I support Hillary because I think she's the one who's ready to take on the presidency and the issues that are most pressing today.
As you know, the far right and the far left aren't going to elect the next president. It's the people in the middle, and obviously it all goes to what it always goes to in elections. It's turnout. For those who want to decide and want to take the spotlight off blowhard Donald Trump. I'm sorry, I'm being told that's not his actual name. His name's Donald Trump. But to take the spotlight off Trump and actually talk about what's going to matter to this country going forward, there's this constant issue of trust with Senator Clinton. Trust takes a long time to build back once you've lost it. So for the voter who hasn't decided yet, what do you say to them about Hillary Clinton and the trust issue?
Well, I trust Hillary Clinton, and I trust her because she's devoted her life to public service. The first job she ever took was at the Children's Defense Fund to help at-risk families, to work on things like voting rights and issues that, you know, were hard and difficult because she wanted to make sure every voice was heard. And, you know, her whole career, she's focused a light on people who are vulnerable. It's part of who she is to focus on at-risk children, to help women. Even as Secretary of State, she shone a light on those issues. When she's traveling around the world on national security, she takes the time to go to those orphanages, to go to those places where women who have been raped in war are trying to rebuild their lives. And the not-for-profit people who run these things say, nobody's ever visited us. No Secretary of State has ever thanked us for the work, and it's going to legitimize us in front of our own government. So I trust her, and I know her values, and I know who she is as a mother, who she is as a daughter. And if you just look at her history, I mean, her mother lived such a hard life. She was disowned at a young age. She had to go on her own. By the time she was 12, she was working. She was a maid. She was a nanny. And when she raised her own family, she instilled in Hillary these values that you have to keep working. You have to keep helping others. Your life is about service. And so I believe she will make a great commander-in-chief because of those values.
Senator, when you were reelected 4 years ago to the six-year term, you got almost 75% of the vote, the highest margin for any candidate ever in New York. What goes through your mind when you hear your name being brought up for potential higher office?
Well, it's certainly very flattering, and I'm grateful for that level of support. But I feel so grateful that I'm a U.S. senator. I never expected to be a U.S. senator. And so I feel like I can raise issues that sometimes don't get the light of day, which is why I spend a lot of time focused on violence against women, whether it's in the military or on college campus. It's why I'm trying to create a national narrative on the importance of paid leave, because working families desperately need support when a loved one is sick, when your spouse has cancer, or when you have a new child. And our workplace just isn't set up for families very well. And so I feel like I can make a huge difference where I am, and I feel grateful that I even have the chance to do that.
What if she asks? What if Hillary Clinton's elected and she asks? How about Vice President Gillibrand? Does that
if
ring
Hillary
with you?
If Hillary asked me to be vice president, well, I'd be so honored. And, of course, I would do whatever I could to help her. But I feel very grateful that I get to serve as the senator from New York, because I think making sure the Senate can have a majority and making sure we can support her legislation and put forward legislation that she can sign is also extremely important.
How about on his cabinet position? I've been in that room. The chairs are great. They're just plush leather. They're really comfortable.
Yes, yes, they are lovely. But no, I feel I will better serve Clinton administration if I'm marshaling legislation like paid leave and equal pay and universal pre-K and getting it done there so she can actually sign it into law.
One last thing before we let you go, and enjoy your time in Chicago, and certainly we hope you come back, and leave a little money before you go. We could use it. I don't know if you heard, we're having some trouble in Springfield. But one last question. You know, the fear in this country of a stagnant, stuck Congress and a government that doesn't work and all the things that the hardworking people have legitimate fears about, rightly or wrongly, that have brought Donald Trump to such prominence in this election. Those fears are real. Those people who are concerned, they may be being trumped up and stoked unfairly, but people are scared. So how do you get those people to believe that, you know, we're going to be okay beyond Election Day?
Well, you know, what I hear in New York is exactly what you just said. People are concerned about the economy. They aren't making ends meet. Lots of people don't have the hours that they need. They might be working double shifts but not earning enough. And there is real economic insecurity. And there's still the belief amongst many people that their children are not going to have the opportunities that they had. And that's the first generation in America where parents have felt that about their children. And so we have to do more. And that's why the economic issues that I fight for, I think, are so important. And because if you have something like paid leave, every time this family emergency happens, for a lot of families, the primary caregiver, the mom, typically will quit or ramp off her job. And then when she ramps back on, she earns less and she doesn't get as much seniority. And it costs her about $320,000 in her lifetime because she doesn't have access to paid leave. So I think it's these economic things that can make a difference. If you talk to a family about affordable daycare, they'll tell you it's not affordable. And so you hear these horrible stories of families who are forced into informal care where they aren't able to get the care they need. And if their caregiver's sick, they miss work. And if they miss work, they get fired. I mean, it's this very vicious cycle. So I think the bread and butter issues of creating supports for families like universal pre-K, affordable daycare, raising the minimum wage to a livable wage, making sure we have paid leave and equal pay for equal work are the things that could make a difference in this feeling people have about the economy that it's not working for them.
And when you get back to Congress, would you tell everybody to do their jobs? Just tell them Steve said, please do your jobs.
Yeah, I will tell them to please do their jobs and get a Supreme Court nominee actually voted on.
Yeah, exactly. Vote them up or down, but get a vote. Thank you, Senator Kristen Gillibrand from New York, Gillibrand. And at Senator Gillibrand on social media. It's 7:22. Rough night for the Hawks last night. Kevin, you want to take care of the replay before we get to the Hawks free tickets?
Sure, let me queue it up here.
Hawks replay is a special feature that we run after all Hawks games, where when the Hawks win, we give you all the exciting highlights. But in the case of the Hawks losing, and by the way, who's this brought to us by?
Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing.
Yeah, and if the case of the Hawks lose, we don't like to take a lot of your time.
Predators, hang on and win this hockey game 3-1.
That's right. That is your complete and total Hawks replay from last night. And who's that brought to us by?
Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing.
All right, and I just want to throw in one more thing. You may want to jump into this. I just want to throw in one more thing. Before we go any further, there's news this morning in the Robert Feeder blog. If you go to robertfeeder.com.
Go Cats.
That's not the news. I mean, that's part of the news. But the news I'm referring to specifically, and I'm very excited about this, is the sports director for 720 WGN and the anchor of sports on the Steve Cochran Show, Dave Ennett, after extensive negotiations. I mean, sweatshop negotiations. There was some brutal stuff that went on. Dave Ennett has agreed to a new 4-year deal to stay on this show and to stay with WGN.
And are we lucky to have him? Let's be serious.
The voice you hear is Jimmy DeCastro, president and leader of operations, head cheese, Big Kahuna.
Not true.
Your thoughts on Mr. Ennett?
Thrilled to have him. When you first came back here, we brought Todd in and we started to go back and really look at what made this station so fantastic, to honor our past and to build ourselves better every single day. And there's no better example than that than Dave Ennett. I try and get him to have that morning show to eat kale, drink a little beer. But we're very excited about an announcement that's going to come up in a few minutes that Dave will lead the way with. But most importantly, that Dave's able to stay here as part of this phenomenal place. We're honored and lucky to have him. So congratulations, Dave. We're thrilled.
And as a personal note, before you tell us how wonderful we are, I just wanted to tell you that Dave, is, along with being a very good friend, is somebody who I think has made this getting up at this ridiculous hour to do this show more fun than it's ever been, because he's great at taking some heat. He's great at allowing me to say nonsensical things about him. He hasn't filed a lawsuit yet.
But that first, you know of.
As far as I know. But first and foremost, best play-by-play guy, period. Does a wonderful job for football and for hoops. But preps, knows his sports, works it all morning long, is as professional as the first day Bob Collins or Wally threw him out of the studio still today. And sure, he's a drunk. But aside from that, he
and
does
Spike
a wonderful
him.
Job. A wonderful, wonderful job. So thank you, my friend.
Well, I thank you. I'm so thrilled about this. And Jimmy, you and Todd have been terrific. And yeah, this is home. I mean, this is home for me. And I started here 32 years ago. I left for a while. That
fantastic.
Was, you know, and I'm so happy to be back and so glad that I'm here going forward. And what Steve just said and you know, working with Andre and Steve and Kevin and Ross and everybody in the morning, I love it. So I can't wait.
Well, the one thing that, and I feel badly because it sort of ties into the clothing discussion, we didn't clear the re-signing with you. And I know at times, Andrea, you and Dave kind of go at each other, kind of brother and sister. So Jimmy was going to call
I think you're
you.
Picking on Andrea way too much. First off, Andrea looks beautiful in anything, and she should have had a week.
Thank you.
So if I could take some responsibility for that. But I have a very strong feeling that our special announcement that's coming up in 10 minutes is going to have you donned in beautiful purple gear.
Oh,
so I wouldn't worry about that.
Right.
By the way, it's 8:40. Well, it's a little longer than that. But it's great that you're here.
Oh, I thought there was another announcement. I couldn't wait.
No.
So, but is it okay if Dave stays? I'm just checking with you.
You know, I think it'll be okay.
Come on.
It's good. Give me a hug. It's good for my competitiveness.
All right. Good. And thank you, Jimmy, for letting Dave play with us some more.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm thrilled to have you and an honor for the listeners to still have you as part of this family.
You're the best.
Here's clue number one on who has a puck in their pants today. He is a legend. I said he. He is a legend. And along with being a legend, he is most famous for something that was not his first love. He is most famous for something that is not his first love. Who has a puck in their pants for Hawks tickets? We need a quick break just ahead of the big story next on 720 WGN. We already have a winner. Based on this clue, this person is famous for something that was not his first love.
Come on. We have a winner already?
I can't believe that.
We already have a winner.
Because I know who it is now, and I had no idea.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
I know who it is, and I still have no idea.
We got to do the big story, and Tim from Lockport, hold on. Your moment is coming. And by the way, Tim, congratulations, because you're going to get a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks against Washington. The best in both conferences. It's on February 28th. Well, wouldn't that be this Sunday? I believe it would. I'll be at that game, and you're going to be entered to win four season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. You can find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com or on Facebook. Tonight, live from the Showcase Studio, the beautiful Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago. None of us will be here because that's tonight, but right now we're here. And we're here on a glamorous Oscars Friday. All of this, of course, is overly hyped, volume-up nonsense that has nothing to do with the telecast on Sunday night or the eventual winners. But we would be remiss if we didn't at least kill a segment or two on this show, making our own Oscars picks in our Oscars wang-dang-doodle. Not to be confused with the NFL wang-dang-doodle, which occurs during the regular season where people yell at each other and eventually are disappointed. And by disappointed, I mean you, the listeners. Let's go to Kevin live in Hollywood. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing well live in Hollywood. The weather's great out here today, Steve.
Excellent. And each of us will be able to pick first. Each of us will pick second, third, fourth, and last.
Well, it's a snake format. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if everyone's going to have a first pick exactly, but this will all work out.
Everybody should have a first pick.
Okay, everybody will have a first
pick. We have five categories. We have five votes.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that's what we're doing. Isn't that what we're doing?
So it's a snake format. So number one through five, and then whoever gets the last pick in the first round will get the first pick.
Yeah, that should work.
But then we go back. So the person who initially had that first pick will then get the first pick of...
I have no idea what you said.
Me neither.
Just let me walk us through this.
Sounds
It'll all work out. Trust
sounds
me.
Sounds like French. All right. So, Andrea, I am granting you the first pick. Can she pick her category?
We're going to start with Best Supporting Actress, Steve.
All right. Okay. Andrea, first pick in Best Supporting Actress.
Best Supporting Actress. I am going to pick Alicia Vikander from The Danish Girl.
That's a good pick.
Getting rave reviews
That's
for her
a really
performance.
Good pick.
I'm going with her.
Who's second?
Second would be Steve Cochran.
Well, I got to go with my old college roommate, Kate Winslet, from the Steve Jobs movie.
I have to say, a very solid pick because Thanks. She won the SAG Award.
Terrible roommate, though. Very sloppy. Mm. Third pick.
Go Cats.
That would be you, Dave.
I got it. Got it.
Dave, third pick of the remaining women left in that category because you can't pick someone who's already been chosen.
Well, I was looking for a football connection, so I'm going to go with Rooney Mara from Carol.
Oh, look what you did there.
Good pick. Good movie.
Mara.
Pick number four.
That would be the Millennials. Ross, I'm going with Rachel McAdams just because I like the movie Spotlight. Your thoughts?
Is it because she's hot, too?
She is pretty hot, yeah.
You know, honestly, just my two cents, I hope she wins.
Yeah,
not in this
win.
Pool, of course.
She's not going to win. What's your thought on Rachel McAdams?
I had a baby in December. I haven't seen a movie since about 6 months ago.
Yeah. All right, good. Well, so you're going to be a big help. And let's go to the seventh floor, Steve. Yep. That would leave you with the pick of Jennifer Jason Leigh from The Hateful Eight.
That's who I'll pick.
I could call by you.
Hey, by the way, where's my $20,000 gift bag? I was looking for that.
Oh, I got a bag for you.
Okay.
Next category.
Next category would be Best Supporting Actor. Now the seventh floor will lead us off.
Uh-oh, wait. Best Supporting Actor?
Actor in a supporting Correct. Role.
Actor in a support.
Mark the first pick.
Mark Ruffalo.
You're going Ruffalo.
Mark
yeah.
Ruffalo.
Yeah,
look
at
Mark
that.
Ruffalo.
All right. Second pick.
That would go back to us, the Millennials. Ross, I am going to go with Rocky, Sylvester Stallone.
Everybody seems to think that's the home run, that's the big winner. Ross, your thoughts on that pick?
This one time, Abigail laughed. And
you didn't see the movie.
So you didn't get the movie?
I didn't see the movie.
All right, fine. Pick
Ross.
Three.
Pick three goes back to Dave.
And I'm never sure of his last name.
Mark Rylance?
Bridge of Spies, yes.
Mark Rylance. I'd love to see him win. Did you see the movie?
Yes, I did.
He's so good.
Tom Hanks is great,
so good.
But he is really good.
Am I next?
Yep, you're next, Steve.
I'm going to go with Christian Bale in The Big Short. He was really good in The Big Short.
Be a sleeper pick.
Yeah.
And now back to Andrea.
I got
Gee,
a chance
who's
to.
Left?
I think Tom Hardy may be your pick.
Tom Hardy, but only because of his role in Mad Max.
Did you see The Revenant?
No, I didn't see Mad Max or The Revenant.
All right, well, good luck with that pick.
So I said it because of Nick. That's my Nick tribute.
Category number three.
Category three will go to Best Actress, actress in a leading role. Now, Steve, if we stick to my snake format, this would give Andre the next pick, or we can give everybody a number one pick, and you would go first here.
I think everybody does need to get a number
okay,
one pick.
Okay, Steve,
and I would
first,
like to give my number one pick to my friend Andrea. Andrea, your
Why
pick
are you
first.
Guys being all nice to
Andrea,
me
Andrea, your
this
pick
is,
first.
Something's weird.
I'm giving you,
you
your... Well, maybe you should
nice.
Just say thank you for the first pick
you guys
I just
are just
gave you.
Felt
all right,
bad
I'll take
you
the first
me.
Pick.
No, I'll take it.
Oh,
okay, all right,
fine then.
All right, I'm going with Best Actress, right?
Yes.
Brie Larson for Room.
Brie Larson for Room. So I'm going second then?
Yes.
All right. Sure. My pick would be... this category sucks. I'm going to go Charlotte Rampling in An Upset for 45 Years.
Did you see that movie?
Nope.
Okay.
Pick three.
Back to Mr. Cat.
And again, these names are tough, but is it Cerise?
Oh, Saoirse.
Saoirse.
See,
I wasn't close. Ronan. I saw the movie, though. Brooklyn.
It's chick flick. Did you like it?
It was a chick flick.
Yeah.
You liked it?
Yeah, I did.
He
did. It was
he
good.
He liked it, and he cried
It was a nice story. I did.
Did you cry?
No, I got
Come
a little.
Come on.
Maybe just.
Weep openly, rock
watering.
Back and forth.
back to back to the millennials.
Let me go to Ross first on this. Ross, the remaining actresses are Kate Blanchett and Jennifer Lawrence. What's your thoughts there?
Jennifer Lawrence is one of our people, so I'm definitely leaning that way. But being a good team player, I'm not going to make a final decision until I would defer to Kevin, who probably actually saw the movies that we're talking about.
So you didn't see either one of these?
I didn't see either one.
Wait, and what's the reason for that?
I had a daughter. And,
oh, you just have a baby. Yeah. By the way, Abigail's 10 weeks old now.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
And we still haven't met her.
Yeah.
In person.
Yeah, well, we don't want the riffraff exposed to her too soon. Kevin, your pick?
Ross, I was actually going to go Kate Blanchett.
Like I said, I was going to go Kate Blanchett because she's not a millennial and other millennials.
All right. And correct. Steve, back to you on the seventh floor. That's going to leave you with Jennifer Lawrence.
It was a lot of thinking on my part, but Jennifer Lawrence is my pick.
Steve, let's not kid ourselves. The only time you think is during the news. Let's go to category number four.
The actor in a leading role up to the seventh floor.
All right.
You already had a first pick.
Okay, then the millennials get the next first pick. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, let's go with Leonardo DiCaprio. Ross?
Good pick.
Solid.
Everyone I follow on Twitter says that's who we should pick. So
the bear ate him.
Nicely done. All right, now Steve, go.
I'm going to go with Eddie Redmayne.
All right.
Yep.
Eddie Redmayne.
Yep. Eddie Redmayne.
How about over to Dave?
I'll go with Bryan Cranston for his terrific portrayal of Dalton Trumbo, the blacklisted.
Yeah, we don't need the bio. Thanks.
Steve and then Andrea.
Oh, Steve.
I'm going to go with. I didn't see The Martian. Am I the only one on this planet that didn't see The Martian?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I saw it.
Yeah. I'll go with Michael Fassbender. A lot of people confuse me with him.
Maybe the only person in the universe.
And Andrea, that'll leave you with Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Now, who hasn't gotten a first pick? I believe Dave hasn't. Dave, you can lead us off with the best picture, the biggest one here.
Best picture, Dave. Now, there's eight to choose from here.
Yeah, this is tough. I'd like to give my pick to Andrea.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, you guys, so giving.
You are being so nice.
You're about to lose the first pick. Would you like it or not?
I will. Really?
All right, back to you, Dave.
I'll take it.
What do you have?
Spotlight.
Spotlight's a good pick.
Going Spotlight, my favorite movie of the year.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. Dave, I'm going to go back to you for pick two.
I'm going to give it to you, Steve.
That's really nice of you, Dave. I'm not accepting your pick. I'm giving it back to you.
Okay. I'm going to go with...
Why are you guys so nice?
Because that's how we are. Format? The Revenant.
Going with The Revenant.
Oh, that's a good solid pick, too.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'm going to give my third pick to the millennials.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
Kevin, I would go ahead and pick. Ross is tired. He's sleeping now because he has a baby.
I understand. We'll go with the Big Short, a sleeper pick, I think so.
It's a good pick. Good. And Steve Grzan, it's your pick for Best Picture.
Okay, did anybody pick Room yet?
You did just now, just seconds ago.
Room.
And I will go with a terrific movie called The Bridge of Spies.
Great flick.
And as I look over my picks, I have to say, I think I'm 0 for 5. It looks like an 0 for 5 for me. We'll get Dean's picks coming up. And in addition to Dean's picks, you have some Oscar fun facts.
Oh, yeah. You'll like this. Like how long it takes one of the female nominees to get ready.
They're starting now. We also have some Oscar prop bets. And some details on what's going to be in the swag bag for all the nominees. The actual swag bag, not that fraudulent swag bag they passed on us, a couple of weeks ago. Minute before 8, you've been listening to the Oscars. Wang, dang, doodle. Kevin, say goodbye from Hollywood.
Live from Hollywood, Kevin, for WGN.
You know what we forgot to do? We forgot to do the tiebreaker pick.
The tiebreaker? Okay.
You know what? I was going to do Best Animated Feature, but it's too easy. Let's do Best Foreign Language Film.
Oh.
I don't have that category in front of me. Could you give me the category of best foreign language film? We'll do that with Dean. Obviously, the best animated feature film.
Does The Big Short qualify?
No, because it's not animated.
No, for a foreign language.
Shaun the Sheep movie? Shaun the Sheep movie. Oh, that's a terrific film. That sheep can act.
That's animated feature, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's Inside Out. What is it, Inside Out? Yeah, Inside Out should win that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than when I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Or kiss me good.
8:11 in the morning, and Dean Richards joins us live from Channel 9. Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Good morning.
Well, you all right?
I'm writing a complaint letter.
A complaint letter to who?
Dunkin' Donuts.
What happened?
I think they give me, on purpose, joke dribble cups.
Oh, all over your suit?
Every day. And I spill coffee on myself.
Oh, boy.
Shouldn't the lid on a coffee cup prevent that?
Well, that happened at McDonald's a few years ago in some woman's suit and got a gazillion dollars. And by the way, exactly a gazillion.
You know, I have been under a lot of emotional stress since that has been happening.
I'm afraid I'd have to testify against you on that behalf. You've been emotionally stressed for years.
Dino, interestingly, your coworker, Sean Lewis, has the same conversation with me on the weekends when I'm there, but he says just the opposite. He said Starbucks. He said you pay all that money for Starbucks, and that always dribbles out.
I've noticed that, too.
Yeah.
If we can put a man on the moon, can't we get a decent takeaway coffee cup that doesn't dribble coffee on your clothes?
A non-dribble lid.
You know, I think about the problems in Syria, and I think they're nothing compared to the people dribbling Starbucks on themselves.
Did any of the candidates talk about this last night?
No.
This problem?
You know what my favorite part about last night was? Trump being offended. Well, that was one of them. Trump being offended by cursing. I mean, if there's a more disingenuous moment than that.
Didn't he use a rather salty word to describe Ted Cruz a couple of weeks ago?
Do we have it? Kevin, do we have the montage? All right, listen to this, Dean. This is Trump cursing followed by Trump's moment from last night. Listen.
He's a that's terrible. Terrible. You can tell them to go themselves.
You're not going to raise that price. You understand me?
Listen, you mother. We're going to tax you 25%. I don't give a fuck. The son of a.
This guy used a filthy, disgusting word on television, and he should be ashamed of himself, and he should apologize, okay?
That's Trump talking about former Mexican president. Was it Fox? I think it was Vicente Fox.
Fox.
Yeah, who said, I'm not going to build your effing wall. And that's after. And that, by the way, is just four or five examples that were found of him cursing in front of rooms filled with children and other people.
They love me.
He is so presidential. So presidential.
Did I mention my coffee cup is dribbling?
Yeah, you did. I'm sorry. I was just trying to get you not to think about it.
Thank you.
How dare I bring up other things?
Please.
Listen, I want you to get to your Oscar picks. And I also want to recognize one of the great actor comedians of all time on his 100th birthday today. But is there any movie we ought to see this weekend?
One called Eddie the Eagle.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Nice, uplifting movie. Eddie Edwards, the British Olympic skier from the 1988 Calgary Games. I don't know if you remember him. I didn't until I saw the movie, but
yeah,
people do. He wasn't really that great of a skier.
No, he was terrible.
He came in last. But he was the only British skier to get into the Olympics that year because he wanted to be at the Olympics. He plays the Eddie, a British actor named Taron Egerton. Hugh Jackman plays his coach. Both guys have dreams that were unrealized, and it's a really nice, uplifting movie about not letting any single barrier that gets in your way stop you from achieving your dreams. Nice, uplifting, positive movie. And you get to see this guy crash down ski slopes over and over and over again. So, you know, there's the price of admission right there.
And that would be rated a Dean's List.
Dean's List B on this one. Yeah, really nice.
And watch Channel 9 this morning for the rest of Dean's reviews or check it out online and see his Oscars picks and other things. But here is Oscars picks when we come back.
If you watch this morning, you'll be able to see coffee drips on my shirt.
You hadn't brought that up. What happened there? So, by the way, before we get to your Oscars picks, we need a tiebreaker, too, for our Oscars picks.
Yeah.
And we've gone with Best Foreign Language Film. I'm going to allow everybody to think about it during the break. The category includes Embrace the Serpent, Thebe, Mustang, Son of Saul, and A War. And I will remind you, A War was directed by Tobias Lindholm, and I think we know his work. /8:21, make it 8:22 now. Dean Richards back with us from Channel 9. You on the radio Sunday?
I am. Sunday, we have just a little mini show. There's a sports preemption, but we'll have a little pre-Oscar fun. We'll be talking with Hugh Jackman about his new movie this coming Sunday. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Where will you be Sunday night during the Oscars?
In my house.
Yeah. And who you'll be wearing?
My house. I'm wearing Sears Roebuck.
Good for you.
Yeah.
His smoking jacket.
And a smoking jacket. Sears Roebuck sweatpants and a smoking jacket.
It is a smoking jacket, I will say that.
Jackie Gleason would have been 100 years old today.
Yeah, how about that? How about that? One of the great comedians of all time. One of the pioneers of television. I mean, he, you know, single-handedly was responsible for people buying televisions in the early 50s so they could watch his variety show, so they could watch The Honeymooners. You know,
and if you're over the age of 50 and the words live from Miami Beach don't ring with you, you weren't paying attention.
Fantastic. The fun and sun capital of the world.
Yeah.
That sweeping shot going along on Miami Beach. just, you know, fantastic stuff. So he, you know, would have turned 100. I guess we probably know him best as Ralph Cramden from The Honeymooners.
Yep.
And we put together just a little montage of the great one.
This is Ralph Cramden. Yes, yes. Oh, I called to tell you that I quit. That's right. Oh, and furthermore, you are a bum. They can bring doctors from the moon down here to examine my head, and they'll find nothing in there. You are a blabbermouth. Peanuts, peanuts. What am I going to do with peanuts?
Eat them like any other elephant.
Bang, zoom.
Pow, bang, zoom, right to the moon.
All classic. Yeah, is there anything funnier than domestic violence?
Or well, isn't that right? Because you could not, you couldn't do that kind of joke today.
Crazy.
And, you know, the fat jokes, too, probably would be, you know, there'd probably be a protest outside the studio.
But outside of the, you know, the Honeymooners, which was part of his variety show, later on, Reginald Van Gleason.
Tremendous.
You know, the many, many, many characters that he did. And, you know, younger people will probably remember him as Sheriff Buford T. Justice from the Smokey and the Bandit movies.
By younger, Dean means over 40.
And his, you know, interesting local note, his final movie he made here in Chicago with Tom Hanks, Nothing in Common.
Yeah, which is actually an underrated film, I think.
Yeah, no, it's a very sweet film, 1986, and then he died the following year.
Here is the selection of foreign films, Dean. This is the tiebreaker for us here in studio.
Yeah.
You have to select one. Who didn't get a first pick earlier?
Everyone got one.
Everyone did?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's back to you, Andrea. Embrace the Serpent, Thebe, Mustang, Son of Saul, or A War?
You guys are being so nice to me. I just can't. Okay, before I lose my pick. Not that I've done extensive research on this, but I have to go with Son of Saul.
Son of Saul. And that was the spinoff from the meth show, right? Son of Saul?
Yep. That was Better Call Saul.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I have done not a lot of research on this, but it's a Hungarian drama considered to be the front runner.
Oh, I love a Hungarian drama.
I would have picked Embrace of the Serpent just because I think it's a funnier title.
Dave?
Can you read the titles again?
Embrace the Serpent.
Embrace the Serpent.
Embrace the Serpent.
Yeah, I'll go with Dean's recommendation.
It's funny. It's got a funny title.
Seventh Floor, Steve Grzanich?
I will go with the only one I saw, which is A War.
You really saw it?
I did, yes.
Well, then you're not eligible to pick.
All right, we'll give you that one.
Fine.
All right.
There millennials?
We will go with Mustang.
That leaves me with Thebe, which is the one I wanted anyway. I have loved the work of Naji Ubar Nowar for so long.
It's an Arabic language film.
Yeah,
did you enjoy it?
Oh, it's great.
Like, you got to tell him.
Saw it three times.
Sahib.
All right, so thank you for that. Now, there are some prop bets that go with the Oscars Sunday night, Dean. Your thoughts on these? Will Stallone lift both of his arms? That's a prop bet.
You know that he will.
Of course he will.
You know that he will when he wins the Oscar, and I think that he will for supporting actor. Oscar in one arm, you know, other up victorious, you know, kind of doing his Rocky.
Sure.
Like when he's you know, runs up the steps and does that Rocky dance.
The question
bit.
Is, can he raise both of his arms?
What color will Gaga's hair be? Red, pink, blue, yellow, or orange?
I'm saying yellow.
I'm going with all of them.
I think she'll be a little on the conservative side. You heard who's introducing her, right?
Yeah, your buddy.
Vice President Joseph Biden.
Oh, that's right. Biden, yeah, that'll be great.
Is going to be introducing her.
I'm going with a platinum.
A platinum?
Wearing a suit made out of meat.
Who will the last person be to appear in the In Memoriam sequence? Based on how this year's gone so far, I think we got to wait and see who dies between now and Sunday.
That's true.
Didn't they forget Joan Rivers last year?
No, was it last year or the year before? Yeah. I'm going to go with Abe Vigoda. I just think it'd be great if Abe Vigoda was the last guy. But it's probably Leonard Nimoy, probably, right?
It's going to be somebody profound.
Yeah.
Not that Abe Vigoda wasn't. But.
And then other bets that aren't quite as popular, who will be physically removed from the stage by the cast and crew of the Fast and Furious? That's a prop bet that's out there. Will Leonardo DiCaprio's date be anyone from the Big Bang Theory? That's out there as well.
Sheldon.
And will anyone actually walk up and say, I'm not here to thank anyone other than me. I'm terrific. Which, of course, is what most of them should say.
That would be the headline on Monday if that happened, because that would be so honest.
I was going to say, I didn't think Kanye was scheduled to appear.
Kanye not scheduled to appear.
By the way, do you know what the average cost is of prepping a Hollywood actress for the red carpet, Dean or Steve?
I did hear this.
How much?
Average cost. This is just actress. $3,500.
And how long does it take a woman to get ready?
An average. Now, you got to keep in mind, some women get their hair done a few days earlier, mm-hmm. their nails done.
That's how I do it.
An average of 3 days.
3 days. So you sleep in it? Once you get it done?
That's about right.
Well, you get a pedicure, a manicure, a waxing, whatever you need.
I've gotten all those.
So Dean had them done this morning.
My waxing takes a little longer. I have to actually go to the Black & Decker store for waxing.
Well, you're Greek. That's not your fault.
I go to Sears Roebuck for that, too.
It's all Sears with you. All right, so here are Dean's picks. Best supporting actress
will be Kate Winslet from Steve Jobs.
Really?
Yeah.
That's an upset. I like it.
I believe.
Best supporting actor
will be should be Mark Rylance from Bridge of Spies.
Oh, great.
Will be Sylvester Stallone from Creed.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. Best actress
will be Brie Larson from Room.
Funny movie. Not funny at all.
Laugh a minute.
Best actor
will be, of course, Leo DiCaprio.
Picture?
I think will be Spotlight.
It's
going to be between Revenant and Spotlight. I think, you know, we now know that the voting body for the Academy is older.
Right.
And I think they're going to be a little turned off by the violent nature of Revenant. They'll appreciate the filmmaking. I think that Alejandro Iñárritu, who directed The Revenant, will win. Hey, I learned how to say his name. I'm going to say it as many times as possible. I have to amortize using his name as much as possible.
Sure.
But I think he'll win best director, but I think Spotlight will take best picture. Great story, amazing ensemble. It's the kind of movie that Oscar loves for Best Picture.
All right. Nice work by you, as always. We'll continue to see you on Channel 9. We'll see you Sunday morning. Hear you here on the radio. And remember, Sunday night, Dean will be wearing a smoking jacket.
Yep, with coffee stains on it.
He rolls out
a
red carpet.
I'm not done with that email, Dunkin' Donuts. I just want you to know I'm not done with that email yet.
Good luck. Check the spelling. .841, and on the day we announced that Dave Ennett was nice enough to stick around for another 4 years.
Thank you.
Another announcement to make. By the way, Dave, exciting news, too, for the rest of us. He's taken his entire 4 years of salary in trade from PermaSeal, so we're very excited about that as well. Got a couple of things to do at the basement. Dave, I think it's only appropriate, because of your affiliation with our friends here, that you handle the introduction of our guests and lead us into the announcement we're now going
to
make.
Well, very pleased to have with us Dr. Jim Phillips, Vice President of Athletics and Recreation at Northwestern University. And our boss, Jimmy DiCastro, has asked me to announce this through the hard work of Jimmy and Jim and Jim's staff and Jeff Hill, our Director of Sales. WGN Radio is excited, delighted, very pleased to announce today that WGN and Northwestern have reached agreement to extend our broadcast rights agreement for an additional 4 years.
Woo! All right.
So four more years of Wildcat football and basketball here on the Big 720.
It's very, very good news. And Jimmy, your thoughts?
As I mentioned earlier, to have Dave here, and Dave said the only way I'm staying is if we can get Dr. Jim Phillips and Mike and all the wonderful people from Northwestern University to be part of us. We're thrilled to have you here, Jim. You know, it's family. It's always been about family with this relationship. I'm honored. I've always said I feel like I'm a steward of an asset for a moment in time, and getting to know you personally and to know Mike. I have Jeff Hill with me here. Jeff did most of the tough negotiating on the deal with Mike Pulisky, who we'd like to say hello to and thank you. But to Fitz, Coach Fitz and to Coach Collins and to the fantastic volleyball team, field hockey team, women's basketball team. I love that your title has recreation in it. I'm going to add that if I can, if you don't mind. I'm going to be the president of WGN Business and of Recreation.
I think you already are.
I love that. I love that.
We should have a recess.
But thank you so much, Jim, for being with us, and we're just honored to have you as part of our family.
Well, we are, too. It is with tremendous gratitude to be here this morning. WGN and Northwestern have been great partners for the last 20-plus years, but even prior to that, and when I think of Chicago and Chicago's Big Ten team and Big Ten University Northwestern, this is Chicago's radio station. It has been. It always will be. And so it has great significance to us. And I think in life, when you have a chance to have a partner and you have a chance to have a partner like WGN and you, Jimmy, who've been phenomenal, and Jeff and Steve and Dave and Andrea, and you said the right term. It really has been a family, and there's nothing more important to us at Northwestern than our family. WGN's been part of it, so we're thrilled. We're thrilled. We have the best play-by-play announcer in the country.
I'm so excited.
Yep. Yeah.
Thank you.
So excited about Dave's new contract.
I'm excited about it because, frankly, if this didn't happen, he's on the street.
Absolutely.
So it's very good news for the show.
But part of, I think, the 9 o'clock hour was the announcement of Dave taking the WGN family on a Caribbean cruise.
Whoa! Hey!
Contract. I thought that was nice.
Right? Wow, yeah. I think that got lost somewhere in the negotiations.
I didn't know that.
So get your sunblock, Steve. Yeah. Get ready.
Yeah, imagine the blow amount I'd need for this head. You know, and Dave, you can speak to this as well as Jim. This is a very exciting time for Northwestern Athletics. Because particularly in football and basketball, you got two programs. Football's had a lot of success in recent years, but two programs that, again, are building to the highest levels of success. And the thing that always amazes me, with the academic standards at Northwestern University, it's tougher to get the best athletes in the business. So you better have good coaching, and you better have good administration. You better have a good program. So each of you are around this stuff all the time. But, Jim, you in particular ought to be very proud of that.
I am, Steve. I absolutely just feel that. When you have a 97% graduation rate, which leads the country, and you have the type of young people we have a chance to mentor and lead and get our arms around, and to do it at the highest level athletically, there's very few programs in the country that decide to do that, to take the academics as serious as we do. We also believe in great community service. Last year, our kids did over 5,500 hours of community service.
Wow.
We'll do more this year. Every student athlete will do at least two community service projects. It's about building leaders. And I think ultimately we understand what our mission is. The stats are the stats. 99.2% of college athletes will never play professional sports. And we want them to dream big and chase those aspirational types of goals that they have to play professionally. But in the end, it's about getting them ready for life after sport. And to be able to do that at a place like Northwestern is tremendous. But you have to have a great partner. I love WGN. I grew up one of 10 children in the Portage Park neighborhood in Chicago. My parents had it on religiously in the kitchen. And so I couldn't think or fathom us at Northwestern being with anybody else. So I want to thank Jimmy and Jeff especially because they're the ones that put this deal together with myself and Mike Polisky, who did a brilliant job. So thanks. Thanks to this group in particular.
Go Cats!
And I just want to say one other thing about my deal. This hasn't really been said, but I wanted to make sure, and Jimmy, you know this, I wanted to tie it in with Fitz's.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he's there, I want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we succeeded in getting that done.
I'm just curious as to why you didn't want to tie it into my deal, but you know, whatever.
I want to see you in the bathroom right after the show, if you don't mind. Scotland!
Yeah, the history continues.
So we have a big game tomorrow.
Yes.
Or on Saturday.
Yes.
At Rutgers. And so it's only appropriate that, you know, you're always trying to get home court advantage any way that you possibly can.
Sure.
And certainly free throw shooting ends up sometimes dictating the outcomes of games.
Almost always. Almost always.
I think you see across the country, you see fatheads in the student sections.
Yes.
And so I'd like Paul Kennedy to maybe bring Steve's over here. So I can show him because he has his back to him. But the
back
student
to
section
is
going to have this.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to have that.
That is hilarious.
How do you have to explain this?
Wow.
That is.
So, we hope this frightens the Rutgers
frightens
shooters.
Frightens them. It frightens me. And I'm looking at
it's
it.
It's a great headband. Look at that. That's a face only a mother loves.
How'd you get it so? How'd you get it so to
here,
scale?
I know. You gotta put those up. Yeah. Let's bring Andres over here.
Is that
actually
that's
Jimmy?
Funny.
Jimmy, you can tell me, but that actually is my actual head size.
It's a little smaller, Steve.
It's smaller.
Look at the beautiful Andrea dog. Yeah. Look at that.
And I had the little purple end.
She got her purple
eyes. Yeah, there we go.
So you knew you'd have purple eyes.
Yeah.
So I got a giant fat head with a headband, and you look fabulous. So there you go.
She has a glamour shot headband.
She totally does.
So when I'm broadcasting the game and Rutgers is at the free throw line, I'm going to be looking at that also.
I know you are.
Yeah.
I know you are.
That's going to be a little disconcerting.
So on Monday morning show, Steve, I want you to read the free throw stat line
absolutely
to the audience to see what kind of effect these fatheads had in the student section on Saturday.
I'm not waiting
until
Monday morning, Jim. During the game tomorrow.
That's awesome. Look at that.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I literally don't know what to say, and that could be beneficial to our friendship.
It is quite telling, though.
Will
that
you get over that one, please.
That Dave Bennett's fathead. Dave Bennett.
Oh, are you kidding me? This is the one that they're going to make the miss on.
Tremendous.
The best part of it. There's not a hair
miss,
out of place.
Look at this. She's right. The Dave Bennett hair is fantastic, but yet there's still a headband on his. These shots are going up right now on social media at Cochran Show, at Steve Cochran Show on Facebook, and of course at WGNRadio.com. Jim, thank you for that. But mostly, thank you for the partnership and the continued relationship.
Thank you, brother.
All the
Go
best.
Cats.
Go Cats.
Well, again, thanks to Northwestern and Jim and everybody from Northwestern University. We're very excited about that brand new arrangement to continue our broadcast rights for football and basketball. You know, we didn't talk much about it, Dave, but the additional programs at Northwestern, you know, we talk about lacrosse, we talk about field hockey. They also have a great golf program at Northwestern year after year, right?
Men's and women's. They have a perennial Big Ten women's tennis champs. Their women's lacrosse team has won national championships. They've made it to the Final Four on a pretty much a regular basis.
Sure.
And but so they've got success throughout their 19 programs. But obviously football and men's basketball is where the focus is directed. And I believe in the next 4 years, I don't know if it's going to be next year or the year after, they will get to the NCAA tournament in basketball, which has become something that I think people are anxious to see. And football's coming off a 10-win season. So
yeah, pretty impressive.
Very impressive.
Before we go any further, Kevin, I have no idea where we'll put this. I'm getting questions. Have you decided if you're going to extend your fast food ban into March?
Do we want to announce that right now?
Well, we can wait until Monday, but you have come to a decision?
I have.
All right. Well, we can hold it till Monday.
Okay.
But would your fast food ban include Twinkies?
I wouldn't consider that fast food, but I would stay away from it, absolutely.
Here's the reason I bring it up. The new Ghostbusters movie, which will be out this summer,
mm-hmm.
One of the things they're featuring are key lime swine. I'm not swine. That'd be wrong. Key lime slime green Twinkies.
I'll try it once.
These are golden Twinkie sponge cake with key lime pie filling.
Ooh, oh, that sounds good. Yeah.
Well, keep in mind, with the preservatives that are put in, they'll last for 1,000 years.
Right.
So I don't think it's like key lime pie fresh off your pastry chef's back room. Mm-hmm. This is key lime pie Twinkies coming soon to a store near you, relatively soon.
I like it. I'm a sucker for key lime pies and Twinkies.
Everything you say is going to be out of context.
It really is.
Nine ten in the morning, an exceptionally busy Friday show. You know, normally you get to Friday, and I'll be honest with you, I phone it in. I'm barely here on a Friday. I come in, I pretend I'm playing, I'm attentive and all that, but man, today I've got no option other than to be on my game, baby. You can follow him on social media at ALAD16, ALADD16. We were very excited to hear yesterday afternoon that Andrew Ladd is back where he belongs with your Chicago Blackhawks. Good morning, Mr. Ladd.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Welcome back.
Thanks. I'm pretty excited to be coming back. So, I can't wait to get started.
Well, I know that this kind of came together pretty quickly. So, I don't know. You need a place to stay? I got a garage.
Yeah.
I think I got a few buddies there I might be able to shack up with.
All right, well, call if you need help. You know, as the Hawks as the Hawk Station and me, listen, we always have your back. Dave Bennett, say hi to Mr. Ladd.
Mr. Ladd, welcome back to Chicago.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing great. There have been a lot of rumors, a lot of speculation in the days leading up to the trade deadline that you were going to go somewhere, it appeared. But what was your thought as far as while the process was unfolding about the chances that it would be Chicago?
I was hopeful, for sure. You know, I think once the process started and I kind of knew that they were looking at trading me, you know, that's the place that I wanted to go if I had my choice. You know, unfortunately, it wasn't completely in my hands. So, you know, I'm very grateful that, you know, ended up being Chicago and excited to be back in a Hawks uniform.
Have you talked to Q yet since the deal came down?
I have not. No, I talked to Stan last night and then texted with a couple of the guys. But, yeah, I'm sure I'll have that conversation with you soon.
I assume you're playing Sunday.
I don't know yet. All I know is practice on Saturday, so I'm looking forward to getting there for that and getting back in uniform.
I got you penciled in the second line, dude, so I suggest you be ready.
First line.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to put too much pressure on him. I got him in the second line unless he's ready to play on the first line.
Yeah, either one's good with me.
Well, this team, obviously, and you've played against them, but this is a much different roster than the one that you left after the 2010 season. But there are still, obviously, the core players, most of them, are still here. As somebody who's faced these Blackhawks, how do you evaluate the current group? And what do you see down the road here in the final part of the season?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the main core guys are still there from when I was there. And they really set the tone for the entire team and how the team plays. They get a ton of skill, but, you know, play a strong defensive game, which, you know, as you guys know, has allowed them to win those three championships. So, yeah, I'm just looking forward to getting there and trying to, you know, get involved with the group and see how I fit in. You know, hopefully it's an easy transition, but you obviously want to be playing your best hockey down the stretch and be rolling as you go into the playoffs.
Speaking of playing your best hockey, you know, you're the kind of guy that mixes it up on both ends. We've got a great shot. You can certainly score the puck anytime. But we got a lot of guys that can shoot on this team. We got a lot of really talented guys. How do you get quality minutes out of what you do best?
For me, I just play my game. You know, I think I can fit in well with a skilled group as a guy who maybe does some of the dirty work and gets the net and plays a physical game. And, you know, I'm still pretty good when they get the opportunity to put the puck in the net. So yeah, I'm pretty familiar with, you know, what you expect from every guy and what I'm sure he'll expect from me. So I won't try to do anything out of what I normally do. I think that's my game is a simple kind of north-south and make plays when they're there and hopefully I fit in well.
I think Andre has the most important question before we let Andrew go.
Andrew, do you speak any Russian?
I do not. No, I don't. I could lie.
I don't know if you heard, but two-thirds of the team now is Russian.
I heard, yeah. Yeah, so, no, there's some pretty talented guys over there. I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do firsthand.
And the thing is, if they want to, you know, needle you or mock you, how are you going to know?
Yeah, it's okay. I'll just keep going about my business, right?
Right.
You know, your new and old teammate, Jonathan Toews, very experienced in social media.
Yeah, he's been on Twitter 3 days now.
Yeah, 3 days, got about 98 million followers.
I saw that. He's like a 12-year-old kid with that thing.
Yeah, well, do you see, he tweeted, this was the last half hour, great to have you back in Chicago, @ALAD16. It's already got and this was a little before 9 o'clock. It's already got over 1,000 likes and 400-plus retweets.
Yeah, so there you go.
Really?
Should we, speaking of Twitter, maybe should we ask you about this troubling photo from 2 years ago, Andrew, the naked guy reading a book?
Yeah, what is that picture?
Brother. Oh, that's your brother.
That's your brother?
That's my brother.
Your brother said, always, or you tweeted, always nice to get my annual Christmas picture from little laddie. What's your little brother's name?
Josh.
And does Josh always torment you with some sort of naked photo of him?
They actually do.
So the Christmas tradition for the lad brothers.
Yeah, so I got, my birthday, I think I think they kind of ran out of things or ideas of what to get me. So, they showed up one Christmas with a big, I don't even know, it must have been a pretty big, almost poster size, picture of my two brothers, butt naked and in front of the fireplace with their Christmas hats on. And, so when I opened it up, we we had a pretty good laugh. So the next Christmas, he decided to send me that one, but they're always good. They're always keeping it light and they're a good time.
I assume this wasn't shown to any other family members?
Well, my mom was there. So, yeah.
Those are my little boys.
Yeah, not so little anymore, but I display that picture proudly in the basement so everyone can see.
Well, listen, I got to tell you, it's a long winter in Canada. What else do you have to do when you're growing up other than to take naked pictures of yourselves and torment your brother? Hey, welcome back, man. We're very excited for you. It's going to be a great stretch around here.
Okay, thanks, guys. Looking forward to it.
Thanks for being on. Thanks. Andrew Ladd, good dude. A Ladd 16 on social media. The legend, Robert A. Clifford, is in the house. Apparently, somebody needs an attorney. 9:21 in the morning. Pat Fitzgerald was in here, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, former U.S. attorney. Promoting a trial, the trial of Antigone that we were talking about. The Hellenic Museum is putting on at the Field Museum on March 10th. Tickets are going very, very quickly. So in all fairness, the Fitzgerald Collins team, we had to have on the opposing team, Dan Webb and Bob Clifford.
Yeah, and Dan Webb is in court this morning, apparently. Bob Clifford is nice enough to come here and represent the Webb-Clifford team and answer to the trash-talking of Attorney Fitzgerald.
Wow, it already started.
Yeah. Where are you on this Antigone thing, Mr. Clifford? And welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. A pleasure to be here. Well, you know, the two Pats are notorious for conjuring up phony defenses. They have this woman in Antigone that they're trying to say is a victim, but she, in fact, violated the king's laws. She, in fact, ignored a legitimate creed from, the ruler of society. And it's sort of like Obamacare. I mean, Obama passed this law. People don't want to follow it. Well, we are a society of rule of law. You have to follow the law.
Right.
And full disclosure, I should tell Mr. Clifford, too, that Anna DeVlantis and I are both partaking in this. So we cannot be swayed. We are impartial jurors. For now.
Oh, come on. This is Chicago. Let's have a little chat after.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Tampering will open for all for a limited time only.
Right?
No, I had the best partner in Dan Webb, former, Iran-Contra prosecutor. This man is a legend in the criminal law. He will help us chart the path of getting this lady convicted. And, the only thing that's not going to happen to her, that we're not going to give her the death penalty because we've abolished that. But she is going away forever.
Well, considering the fact that she's been dead for a while now, I like your chances. Would you also introduce our other guest?
Connie from the Hellenic Museum, who put all of this together. You're back. Thanks for coming back with
us. Connie, what's it like to call legendary attorneys and try to explain this to them and ask them if they'll participate?
Intimidating.
That's right. Yes. And how many calls do you have to make to get a Clifford or a Fitzgerald on the phone to go, can I explain this to you?
Well, I can't take credit for that. We have a wonderful judge of Greek origin, Judge Koukouras, and when he kind of got everyone involved. And when I asked him, I said, "Are you doing this because you just love Greek philosophy and whatever?" They said, "No, Judge Koukouras asked. That's why we're doing it."
Yeah, because when a judge that you like or a judge that you're afraid of calls, you're going to return the call, I suppose.
It all works. It all works. I mean, how do you get, Irish Catholic trial lawyers, prosecuting and defending, what went on in antiquity? It's a good process.
32, 3 years now for your firm? What, in 1984?
I started my firm in 84 after working for my mentor, a legend in this town, Phil Corboy. I started with Phil in 1974 and left him in 84, starting my own firm, and we've been rocking and rolling ever since.
Still having fun?
I love what I do. I'm a lucky guy.
And do you still learn? Because the thing about the law is fluid. I would think it's something you're always going to learn something from.
Steve, in all seriousness, just this week I sat down with several of my young lawyers and I said, look, you have to live your life being a student of the law. If you want to do this work and you want to do it well, because what we do is not about us. It's about the people that we represent. No matter what a lawyer does, he represents someone that needs their expertise, their guidance, and you have to be on top of your game. You have to know what's new in the law. And that's one of the reasons why, frankly, I do things like this program. It makes you a better lawyer. I believe being a member of the organized bar makes you a better lawyer because you're always aware of what's cutting edge, what's going on, and how you're going to represent people in modern-day issues if you're not up to modern-day nuances and developments in the profession and in the law.
Among Mr. Clifford's many awards, 10 for 10, 10 attorneys who raised the bar over the last decade from the Chicago Law Bulletin. Best Lawyers 2009 over and over again. A hot list of 25 go-to teams when the going gets tough. How do you know what cases to take at this point?
The ones that resonate with me is where someone's been wronged. And it doesn't have to be the biggest case in the world. It's just, you know, did something happen here that shouldn't have, and it's a right that needs to be corrected. And we're inspired by that. We, you know, listen, I don't write wills. I don't close real estate deals. We represent seriously injured people or folks that have, you know, died in circumstances that shouldn't have occurred. And I don't make excuses for filing lawsuits on behalf of people like that. They have rights, and those rights need to be protected, and they need to be protected by lawyers who are continually studying the law and lawyers who are on top of the law and are in the courthouse and are aware of how to protect their interest.
Sure.
You've represented some big names, obviously, people well familiar with the Rachel Barton Pine case, as well as you've represented families in 9/11 and Alaska Airlines Flight 261 and American Eagle Flight.
Yeah.
So the impact, I mean, talk about the impact that I guess you and your firm have on many of these precedent-setting cases, just on the public in general.
Well, look at the aviation arena right now. There are no serious, thank God, pending commercial disasters in America at the moment, and we are in an unprecedented era of safety, and I think that's because, sadly, many industries operate on the graveyard justice type of program, and that is to say that they don't fix things until something bad happens.
So, right.
But, you know, the fact is over the last 30 years of the events that have occurred, there have been corrective measures taken, and we are a safer society today because of it. Look at your motor vehicles. You don't see, you know, vehicles blowing up anymore like we used to.
Right.
And so all this works. The tort system works. It does inject corrective actions in product development, and that benefits us all. There's always another side of the coin where folks, you know, criticize the lawsuits. But even in medicine right now, there is a precipitous drop in medical errors nowadays. And that's not a coincidence. It's a fact is that somebody died because something went wrong in an operating room that isn't going wrong again. When I was a young lawyer, there were all these anesthesia cases, and the American College of Anesthesiologists, to their credit, did a national review of all of them. They dissected every case that occurred, and they started teaching around these problems. And guess what? The number of claims and errors dropped like a brick in water. It's a really good thing.
Is there, after all these years of doing this, is there any science to the juries, or do you literally still get butterflies when you're waiting for a jury to come back because you just don't know what way a case is going to go?
Yeah, you don't. I do, and that's why I find it exciting and stimulating. You know, I don't think I'm going to have to do crossword puzzles in my old age, you know, because it's exciting enough doing what I'm doing.
You must be a pain at, like, Thanksgiving, right?
Right.
I bet you're tough to argue with.
My wife, listen, I've been married 42 years to my bride, and
she's the only one that wins the arguments.
She wins every one of them.
There you go.
There are six words. You're right. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. If you live by those words, you're golden.
That's right.
You've gone back and forth, obviously, in court for many years. You know the Pat Fitzgeralds, the Pat Collins, the Dan Webbs. How great is it to all actually get together for something like this. I don't want to say fun, but and I'm sure there's a little trash talking that goes on behind.
Well, it's got to be fun, though, right? It better be fun.
It is a lot of fun. And, you know, listen, all three of those guys, particularly in the criminal arena, have been, you know, stars. I never did criminal work, so for me, I'm catching up at times with them. And to be, you know, in the presence of people who have moved the needle in a really positive way to improve, you know, the criminal law in our community is a real special treat for me. So I'm grateful for that.
And don't you like the way the attorneys are representing the sides they're not so familiar with? Like, you know.
Exactly.
Well,
right,
that's because the two Patricks keep whining about the fact that they get beat, you know. So they said, we really think we can win with this side by defending this lady who was only trying to, you know, to bury her brother whose body was being defiled by the elements and the birds. And, you know, come on. But he deserved the punishment. You know, that's like we did, the second trial we did was the trial of Orestes.
Yeah.
And I came out swinging by saying she had it coming. Okay? So, you know, you're going to see a little bit of that here.
And you're ready to throw the book at Antigone, too.
Absolutely.
But again, she's dead. I mean, so does she care at this point?
Well, but for the evening, she's alive.
Yeah, exactly. Nice to see you, sir.
You too.
Continued
Thank
success.
You so much.
The Steve Cochran Show continues. We'll remind you the trial of Antigone is
March 10th, Thursday, 6 o'clock at the Field Museum. There are still tickets available at the Hellenic Museum site. You can go online right now and get those. It's going to be a great night.
And Mr. Clifford, not that you need the business, but how do we get a hold of your office?
World Wide Web, cliffordlaw.com, 312-899-9090.
We'll come back with a big story next, 720 WGN. Pretty good tune. Get fired up. I know Kevin gets fired up. Kevin's our staff White Sox fanatic. Rick Hunt's the general manager of your Chicago White Sox. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Doing well, Steve. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for coming on. And, Dave, this is a time of year when spring training hits, we know the end is in sight for winter, and it won't be long till baseball.
It's here. It's here. They've been out there now working hard out in Arizona and getting ready.
Yeah. So, Rick, how much time do you actually spend in Arizona? Do you come back, or are you there for the duration?
I'm pretty much here for the duration. I may try to steal back for a weekend and catch one of my kids in a hockey game or two just to heal the soul a little bit, so to speak, because it's tough being away from them for 6 weeks. But essentially, I'm out here in Arizona with the club the whole time.
Assume you were pleased to see that USA Today put no pressure on the team at all when they said they'd win the AL Central.
How about that? They had us, I think, tied for the best record in the American League, even, which was nice to see. I mean, we tend to lose the forest for the trees, so to speak, out here sometimes. We get so focused on one or two specific needs on the roster that we're still trying to address here prior to opening day and somehow fail to sort of appreciate the entire corpus of our work from the off season. And it's nice to see some enthusiasm out there from some outside sources.
Well, and here's what we know. We know you had a lot of guys last year that didn't perform up to career expectations, who logic would tell you would be performing better this year. And you made a couple of key additions. So who excites you most?
You know, it is a combination of that. There is, when we sat down with our players at the end of the season and did our normal sort of one-on-one exit interviews, I tell you, probably seven or eight of them, the first seven or eight we talked to, each of them said to a man, just bring back the same group, Rick, and we're going to be just fine. We're going to compete for a playoff spot with this same central core. And obviously, given the disappointment from last year, we weren't just going to, you know, turn the page and bring back the same group. We felt we had to upgrade a few of our offensive positions in addition to relying on some internal improvement like you referenced. You know, from the outside, we brought in Todd Frazier, a former All-Star third baseman who's going to provide a little protection in the middle of our lineup, and Brett Laurie, who's going to give us a little bit added spark and energy. And it's exciting to see the elements that those guys bring here in the first few days of camp. At the same time, you know, Adam Eaton and Melky Cabrera got off to the slow starts last year, as did many of their teammates. But each of them rebounded, Adam over the course of after about 4 or 6 weeks into the season, and Melky after a couple of months. And we certainly think we get a little more consistency out of guys like that early on that we're going to be well-positioned starting opening day.
Rick, one of the things we heard when you acquired Frazier was that he's a really good guy in the clubhouse. Have you seen evidence that this early in spring training?
We have, and he's a fantastic guy. And when you target a guy, ideally you want them not only to contribute on the field but in the clubhouse as well. Given where we were from an offensive standpoint, first and foremost, we needed to improve our run scoring. If a guy brought ancillary benefits, if leadership and energy and a positive attitude and a good work ethic, that only sort of reinforced the decision to make the move. And quite frankly, Frazier brings all of that and was at the top of our target list heading into the offseason, given the position of need and the whole body of what he brings to the club. And already early in camp, we've seen his enthusiasm, his work ethic. He's walked into the food room the other day, and he's sitting there with Tim Anderson and Carson Fulmer, two of our younger guys who very likely aren't on this club, at least at the start of the year. And it's just the three of them having lunch and Todd getting to know them and learn about what they're about and viewing them as part of our future.
Rick, you mentioned Carson Fulmer, and it's hard not to get excited about your starting rotation, especially that top three of Sal, Quintana, and Rodon. Young guys with electric stuff off the mound. But Carson Fulmer, your top pick in last year's draft, you're one of your top prospects, especially certainly your top pitching prospect. What ideally is the map for him, the game plan for him? And if we do see him come up at some point, can we expect to see a stint in the bullpen at all before getting a start?
You know, a lot of that is still to be determined. I think we've been spoiled or blessed, however you want to put it, around here the last few years in seeing the development path of a Chris Sale or a Carlos Rodon, where in under a year they've gone from college right into the big leagues. Carson, even if he didn't make his major league debut until, say, 2017, that would be a quick path from Vanderbilt to Chicago. But the fact of the matter is that this kid does have special makeup and drive and work ethic is to go along with that premium stuff that had him that led to him having success at a major college program. So it's not unrealistic to think that he could conceivably follow that kind of path. The good ones have sort of a way of forcing the issue, and Carson's certainly one of the good ones. And from our mind, we're going to follow the same kind of plan that we had with Carlos, and that is he's gonna report to our minor league camp at some point over the course of the spring. I suspect he'll be part of that Double A Birmingham rotation, and then we'll respond accordingly based upon his results and what we're seeing from him both on the field and off. If he spends all year in that Birmingham rotation, that's fantastic. That's a nice accomplishment, one full year in your first full pro season. But he certainly has the stuff and the makeup to perhaps force his way to Chicago at some point in the not-too-distant future.
Rick Hahn's a guest. He's general manager of your Chicago White Sox. A quick look at the White Sox as they start to enjoy the first few days of camp and get to some hard work here. You know, Rick, I like the old guys now because I've become one, and Jimmy Rollins just turned, I think, 83. But he's got the heart of a kid, man. This guy just wants to play baseball.
You know, he looks fantastic. He in terms of his physical shape and he's embraced the role that we've laid out for him. He's coming in here to compete for a job. I suspect that at the end of camp, a healthy Jimmy Rollins is added to our 25-man roster and is going to contribute one way or another, whether it's spelling Tyler Saladino and playing a number of different roles throughout the infield, or if he manages to seize that everyday job. Because I tell you, at age, he's 37 right now, and he looks much, much younger than that from a physical standpoint. It's just a matter of seeing what he's can contribute on the field. He's another guy, though, who brings that extra benefit, brings that edge, brings that competitiveness. I think he's going to be fantastic for both Tyler Saladino and Tim Anderson, one of our young shortstop prospects. Just being around him for these 6 weeks and Tyler into the season to see how this guy, who, you know, former MVP, former All-Star at the shortstop position, how he goes about his work.
How does Abreu improve on what he's done his first 2 years?
Boy, you know, if he just stays where he's at, that's going to be awfully good and an MVP caliber player for us. I think the way Jose would probably answer that question is actually back in the clubhouse. I know he wants to seize the role of being one of the leaders of this club, and you know, frankly, there's been a language barrier the first couple of years preventing him from playing a bigger role. He certainly leads by example. You see how hard he works, how diligently he prepares, and how the caliber of effort he gives between the lines. But Jose's been working on improving his English so that he can seize that role and be the go-to guy, not just for his teammates, but for the media, and help continue to set the tone in that clubhouse. But from a production standpoint, I'll take what he's done the last couple of years, and we'll all be happy.
How's his English coming?
Much better, much better. I think he's not quite ready to break it out for the media, which is usually the last sort of the last step for these guys as they transition. But it wouldn't surprise me if about a year from now you see him doing interviews down here on his own in English.
The other guys teaching him how to curse in English yet? Because that's usually a transition period.
That would never happen in a major league clubhouse.
No, of course not. By the way, I want to salute you for bringing Robin Ventura back, and I know it was not maybe it was an easy decision behind closed doors, but there were a lot of people who wanted to doubt the skipper. I've always been a Ventura fan and known him for a long time, and I think he's the right guy, and I certainly hope he proves it this year.
Yeah, and as do we, obviously, to believe he's the right guy and believe he is going to prove that that was the right decision. You know, there's so much of when you have a disappointing year, there's a lot of things that happen between 7 and 10 p.m. that people like to pick apart, ourselves included. But so much of managing, especially in this day and age, happens between 10 p.m. that night after the game and 7 p.m. before the next first pitch. And Robin's as good as anybody in terms of his communication and the ability to motivate players and set a game plan and stick to it. So there's a lot that people don't see that we view as a positive, and we're expecting this year we're going to have a lot of stuff that everyone can see between 7 and 10 that will be positive.
And again, as the official host of the Steve Cochran White Sox fan club, Kevin, do you have any final thoughts for Rick Hahn other than hitting him up for tickets?
I don't, but I believe I'll be out there in the desert not too long future.
That's true.
So I'm sure we'll run into each other. Right?
Yeah, just a couple of weeks. He will darken your door, Rick Hahn.
Fantastic. I look forward to it.
I appreciate it. Enjoy the weather.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Rick.
Rick Hahn, general manager for the Chicago White Sox, forecast number one by USA Today in the American League.
They're going to be an interesting team to watch and see what happens. They're in the division with the defending World Series champs, but they're a better ball club. There's no question. They are better than they were at the end of last season, and their pitching was already solid.
Sure.
It's better now.
These guys have got to deliver. Here's the thing. Bleacher Report made a really good point about the White Sox and the Diamondbacks, and I forget who the third team was.
Mm-hmm.
They said there's three teams that can make a run at the World Series or win 75 games. You just don't know what you're going to get.
You don't know.
And people are forgetting about Adam LaRoche, who had an absolutely abysmal year last year, and it was sort of an outlier compared to the rest of the career. If he comes back to his old self at all, that's like another key addition to the roster this year.
But the thing is, Kevin, a lot of people have said that about me. They said if Steve would come back to, say, 2003 form, imagine what he could do.
I think you're just hitting your full stride now, Steve.
That's a good call by you. We'll see you back here on Monday. What do you guys want to talk about? Anything?
There's a writer named James Allworth who is from Australia, but wrote a fantastic article for Huffington Post called "Has the U.S. Gone Blanking Mad?" Where he talks about some glaring errors that we're making here in our country currently.
Like Donald Trump.
You could say, maybe, possibly, yeah.
Okay.
Will you use that voice the rest of the day? Illusion.
Like an illusion. I can do that for you.
Really, all right.
It's as much the visual as the voice.
Creepy.
Thank you.
Andre Darles is on the seventh floor. Wendy?